This is the first in our series of studies in the local church, particularly the local church in the New Testament. I've entitled it, The Unique Institution. Thinking about the local church in Scripture demands some radical adjustments. We're conditioned today to think that the Bible is not clear about the local church, and that the local church is not very important. In theology and in practice today, the local church is not very high on the list of priorities for most people. For someone studying the local church in the Bible today, they might think that they're in a foreign country, unable to speak the language, or even on Mars, trying to figure out where they are. I firmly believe that evangelicals are at a low point today regarding the local church, and I want to offer to you as proof of this a recent article on the website entitled The Babylon Bee. Now, if you haven't hit that site before, the Babylon Bee is a satire site whose motto goes something like this: fake news that you can put your trust in. Fake news that you can put your trust in. So here is the heading for this very interesting article. A man is going to pray about volunteering at church for 1 hour every other month. Here's the article. Forest Park, Georgia. Asked by Grace Community Church Secretary Rhonda Ewing if he could help her out by volunteering an hour of his time every other month to be a greeter at their Sunday morning service, local man William Langton assured her that he was going to bring her request before the Lord in prayer and get back to her, sources confirmed Friday. "Thank you so much for this opportunity. Really, I'm honored and humbled," Langton, a longtime member of the church, reportedly replied. "I'll certainly pray about it and see if the Lord guides me toward making this commitment. I just want to make sure I'm seeking God's will," he added. The article goes on, concludes this way: at publishing time, the church secretary had crossed Langton's name off of a list of possible volunteers. Very significant illustration of the fact that we are at a low point today regarding the local church. But here are some serious reasons why I think this is true. Number one, other institutions often take precedence. The word parachurch has gained acceptance, and we forget what it really means. Greek word para, P-A-R-A, means alongside. Something that is para-church is often in our thinking equal to church in importance. Actually, most Christians probably don't even think in terms of church or para-church when they think about service to God. I guess our friend William Langton did not. If some organization claims to be quote-unquote Christian, it must be all right. Most Christians don't know that parachurch really means something that is alongside the church. And parachurch activities often take the place of the local church. The second reason for the local church today being at a low point: many people operate on the basis of the attractiveness of personalities and the attractiveness of individuals, leaders. All too often people go to church, and I put that phrase in quotes because it's a frequently used phrase, but because also it's a phrase that we should really examine, and we'll do that later in this study. But all too often people go to church to see and hear a prominent person, not because of the principles associated with the life of the church itself, or to carry out one's own responsibilities in service. A third reason for the local church being at a low point And that is that the online and paper church, books, articles, have assumed a larger and larger role in the evangelical community. Now, this is not to minimize the value of the contributions of the whole body of Christ coming through different channels. But Christian help provided by radio, TV, the internet, and books occupies much of our time. A fourth reason for the low point of the local church these days: many set the local church in competition with the plethora of entertainment options available to everyone today. Sports, TV, home video, outdoor recreation, and so on. Usually, the local church looks pretty dull in comparison with the latest sports coverage, the latest video game, or the latest ski boat. A fifth reason for the local church being at a low point in the thinking of Christians today is that many look to the local church to capture them by entertaining them and become dissatisfied when it doesn't. Local churches become entertainment centers. People choose the most entertaining place to go on Sundays sometimes. A sixth reason: many people want to hide their own lack of individual spiritual growth and maturity behind busy programs in local churches. Church sports teams, group activities, singing in the choir, all good things in the right setting can be a means for covering the lack of a solid walk with Christ. The seventh reason: many people are disgusted and discouraged by what they've experienced. I was shocked a while back when a woman that I taught with at one time told me, "We'll attend our local church, my husband and I, but we've decided never to really get involved in a local church again." And this is probably a common feeling for many people. They've been stung by the actions of other Christians and they don't want to get involved again. And an eighth reason, and you could probably think of many more, why the local church is at a low point in the thinking of many Christians these days: the topic of the local church in Scripture is rarely given public airing. Most people simply assume that they know what the Bible says, or, and this is more likely, they've never even thought about it. They attend a church, and that's what they do. Or if they happen to move to another geographical location, they find another church somehow, and they just attend it. Actually, the New Testament says a great deal about the local church. And I recall the words of S. Lewis Johnson, Jr. of Believer's Chapel in Dallas, who correctly pointed out many years ago in my hearing that the New Testament says more about the local church than it does about the plan of salvation. The New Testament says more about the local church, life together in the local church, its organization, its meetings, relationships of people, more about that than the plan of salvation in the New Testament. Wow. Well, can things be different? I think so, but only by going to the Scriptures first. And for some people hearing this study, even those words may sound very strange. Go to the Scriptures concerning the nature of the local church? I never knew you could do that. Well, the purpose of this study then is to help you to see the priority of the local church in God's program for this age. So first of all, I want to make sure that you don't confuse the local church with the universal church. Theologians call the study of the local church in the New Testament ecclesiology. In the New Testament, the word church, English word church, usually refers to two related but different entities, the local church and the universal church. The focus in our studies in ecclesiology will be on the local church. I was very surprised not long ago when I began to read a book supposedly about the local church, in which the author, sadly, repeatedly confused the local church and the universal church. I was reading along and I thought he was talking about the local church, and then I got confused by what he was saying and realized he had shifted gears and was confusing the two. I concluded that he simply did not know the difference, and this is inexcusable for any Christian. The universal church is made up of all believers during the church age, which extends from Pentecost to the rapture of the church. So the Apostle Paul, Martin Luther, John Calvin, hymn writer Fanny Crosby, and so many more are all in the universal church, the body of Christ. The Bible calls that the universal church, the body of Christ. The local church, on the other hand, involves a group of believers in the same geographical area who meet together. Here are definitions of the two terms, and at the end of this study, and it will be there for all the other studies in this series, I've given you several definitions all in one place. The universal church is the group of all believers living from Pentecost until the rapture. New Testament also calls this the body of Christ. But the local church is a group of believers in a particular geographical area who meet together to worship, to carry out the ordinances of the Lord's table and baptism, to carry out discipline, to edify each other through the use of gifts. By the way, does that definition rule out, quote unquote, going to church on television or the internet? It sure does. The term used for both entities is ecclesia. You'll sometimes hear people pronounce it ecclesia, and that's incorrect. It is ecclesia. It's a compound word made of a preposition and another root, word root. Dictionaries of ancient Greek tell us that this means a gathering or an assembly of people. It's made from the Greek word ek, which by itself usually means out or out of, and also then a syllable, in this case, can be transliterated K-L-E, that means call, clay. Because of this word structure, ek and clay, out of and call, many people say that the church is a called-out group, and by that they mean it's special, it's separated from the world. Sadly, though, this is linguistically totally wrong. The word means a gathering or an assembly. Sometimes the meaning of compound words is just like the combination of the component parts in English and in Greek. But sometimes the individual words don't add up to the actual meaning. So in English, the word honeymoon does not refer to a lunar body that we see at night and that's made of the product that bees make. And a hamburger is not a burger made from ham. Ecclesia does not mean a called out group. Now, all that having been said, at some early stage of Greek, the word ecclesia must have referred to some group that was summoned, called for a meeting, but later the act of gathering was replaced by the result of the gathering, the gathered group. And New Testament writers who used this word simply thought of a group of people in one location or the entire group of believers during this age. It is, we could say in modern terms, it is a set of people, either the set of people who are believers from Pentecost to the rapture, or the set of people meeting in together on the Lord's Day and other days during the week in a particular geographical location, carrying out the ordinances and so on. When it's used to denote a local entity, that local set of people, This word is ecclesia is never used in the New Testament of a building or other place of meeting. It is used of the people, not a structure. I do not like the phrase, quote unquote, go to church, because it suggests there's an entity that is separate from the people themselves meeting together. In addition, I believe that it masks the idea that we find in the New Testament of believers gathering together for a meeting, and seems to say that there's something that a person can attend. Attend church, for example. Attend services. Even that is not in line with New Testament thinking. Since believers make up the local church or compose it, there is nothing for someone to go to. The ecclesia is the people themselves gathered together. You can't go to yourself, therefore you can't go to an ecclesia. So here are some examples of the use of the word ecclesia. First of all, denoting the universal church, that is the body of Christ, the set of all believers during this age from Pentecost to the rapture. Matthew 16, 18 says, I tell you that you are Peter, Jesus says, and on this rock I will build my ecclesia, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Acts 5, 11, great fear seized the whole church. That's all believers alive at that time, and all who heard about these events. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. 1 Corinthians 12, 13 shows how the body of Christ, the universal church, is created. It says, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. As a person, when a person comes to Christ, exercising saving faith, the Spirit of God working in the process to draw that person to Christ and save that person, regenerate the person, also places the person in the body of Christ by identifying that person with the work of Christ on the cross. That's what 1 Corinthians 12 is teaching. Spirit of God identifies a person with the work of Christ on the cross. If during this age I have been identified with the work of Christ on the cross and you have been identified with the work of Christ on the cross at salvation, and if you were a believer, you have been, then we all enjoy the same relationship to the cross work of Christ, and therefore Paul's reasoning goes, we are part of the same body. Acts chapter 1 and verse 5 then shows the beginning point of the body of Christ. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Baptism means, in the New Testament, identification. Identification. You are identified with the cross work of Christ, and therefore a member with all other believers in this age of the body of Christ. Here are some reference uses of ecclesia to denote a particular local church. Acts 13:1 says, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers in the ecclesia at Antioch. 1 Corinthians 14:35, if they want to inquire about something concerning women in the meetings of the church, they should ask their husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church. Now, that's not a building. It's literally en ecclesia, in ecclesia, in the gathering of believers. So it's disgraceful for a woman to speak in the gathering. Isn't it interesting how the New Testament writers spoke about the local church? It's a gathering. It's a coming together. In a very, very simple terminology, it's simply believers gathering together. Now, that doesn't mean a Bible study is a local church, or group of believers at a softball game is a local church. They gather together to carry out the ordinances, to have teaching, to use spiritual gifts, edify each other, and so on. But at heart, it is simply a gathering. 1 Corinthians 14:23, if the whole ecclesia comes together, that is, you're meeting on the Lord's Day when everyone is there. 1 Corinthians 11:18, in the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, ecclesia. So there are really two terms there that refer simply together, gathering. You come together. You come from various places to one geographical location. Come together en ecclesia. It's a very interesting usage because it shows that Paul viewed what the Corinthian believers did on the Lord's Day as simply coming together as a group. He does not speak of going to church, but of the gathering itself. All of this would be clarified if modern translation simply rendered ecclesia concerning the local group as a gathering. By the way, 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together?" That's another way of saying what Paul says elsewhere, an ecclesia, in the gathering. A second important point, the church, local and universal, is the only new social institution for this age. Church is the only new social institution for this age. Matthew 16, 13 through 19 teaches that the church, and here it's the universal, but we'll see it's the local also. The church belongs to Christ and will be defended by God. So Paul says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, Matthew says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. "But what about you?" he asked. "What do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you, Peter, and on this rock, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Now here we encounter the Catholic error of saying that Peter is the basis of the church, and therefore there is a justification for Peter being the first pope and then a line of popes after him. That's a whole other study. Let's simply say that the text will not allow that, the grammar will not allow it. And when he says, "You are Peter, and on this rock," he is really referring to himself. So here is an invisible, in a sense, social unit, invisible institution. You can see the believers, but you don't see the glue, in a sense, that holds them together. That's spiritual, entirely spiritual. But the local church, you can see the glue. You can see people meeting together. So this universal church, the body of Christ, built on Christ by the Holy Spirit, this institution also finds its expression in local churches. So the local church is the visible manifestation of the universal church, and it's where believers in one area gather together in a social unit. There's one other social unit in Scripture, only one. That's marriage. In Ephesians 5, marriage is seen as a picture of God's love, and it's a social unit that expresses God's love and enables human beings to live together in not only in unity, but to carry out responsibilities. Marriage and the local church, though, are the only two social institutions God has established on earth. And the local church is the only one that God established for this age. I'm going to stop at this point because there are quite a few more things that I want to cover, and I do not want to go too far over time. We'll continue this next Sunday. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for what it teaches about the local church. This is surprising to many people that there would be information that can be discovered and that will guide us concerning the local church. Cause us to come to your word with open hearts and open minds to understand better your teaching about this terribly important institution. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.